Blog Talk Radio.
Hit me! How y'all doing this evening? How y'all doing this evening? Do y'all want that bounce? Do y'all want that bounce? I say, do y'all want that bounce? That bounce?
No.
like God. There is no one like him. There's no one like him. Nobody can do for us what God can do. Before we begin this broadcast, let us just go into prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, this is Teresa. Father, I thank you and praise you for another day. I thank you and praise you for your goodness and your mercy. Father, I thank you and praise you for your love. I thank you for forgiveness of sin today, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for everybody that will be listening on today, Lord God. They're listening on the phone lines and in the chat room or even in the archives. Father, I pray that something will be said today, Lord God, that they will hear, Lord God, and it will be able to change their lives, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I pray for somebody who may be listening that is looking for an answer, Lord God, that you will provide that answer for them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I ask your Holy Spirit to come and be our helper today, Father, in the name of Jesus. Say what you want to say, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, hallelujah. Father, I ask you to forgive us for our sins, thoughts, word, and deeds, Lord God, offenses, Lord God, that we have given and offenses that we have taken. Father, I ask you to forgive us, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, because, hallelujah, Jesus suffered the ultimate offense, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, that he was able to forgive those who crucified him, for they knew not what they did, Lord God. And I thank you and praise you today, Lord God. I thank you and worship you and glorify you today, Father God. And I bless your holy name, Father God, in Jesus' name. I pray for anybody listening, Lord God, on the phone line, in the chat room, on our archives, who does not know Jesus in the pardoning of their sins. I pray today that they will read the word of God in John 3:16. Says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I pray for them, Father God, that they will receive Jesus Christ today, Lord God, in the pardoning of their sins, Lord God, that they will know that Jesus was wounded for their transgressions and bruised for their iniquities, that the chastisement of their peace was upon him, and with his stripes they were healed, hallelujah. They were healed of sickness and disease, healed of sin, transgression, and iniquity, glory to God, hallelujah. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, it is my prayer, Father God, that this word today comes, and it falls on good ground, Lord God. It falls on those who are seeking, Lord God, for salvation. They're seeking, Lord God, for something different in their lives, Lord God, and that something different is you. So, Father, I thank you and praise you today. I pray for those that are sick and shut in today, Father God. I pray for those that have been given bad diagnoses, Lord God. I pray, Father God, for them in the name of Jesus. In particular, I pray for my mother, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you will bless her, Lord God, that you will heal her, if it be your will, Lord God, for her to come out of this thing, Lord. I just pray and I agree, Lord God, with it in the name of Jesus, Father, and I thank you for her healing. I thank you for her deliverance. I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For you are the ultimate healer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I give you praise today, Lord God. I give you praise for my mother, Lord God. I praise you and give you honor for her, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, I pray for everybody that are sick, Lord, and their various sicknesses, Father God. And God, you are a healer, Lord God. Hallelujah. You are a healer. Hallelujah. And Father, throughout your word, Jesus said, by your faith, according to your faith, be it unto you, Lord God. Hallelujah. So we apply this prayer with their faith, Father. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for it being done, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, I give you praise today. I give you glory today. I give you honor today. I just want to say thank you, Father God. I just want to thank you today. I just want to use the fruit of my lips to say thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God. I bless your name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Father. I thank you, Lord God. I glorify you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I give you praise today, Father God. I glorify you. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord, and I bless your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. I bless your name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, God. I glorify you. Hallelujah. You are worthy of all the praise. Hallelujah. I give you glory, Lord God. Hallelujah. And I bless your name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I bless your name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I bless your name, Father. Hallelujah. I give you praise, glory, and honor. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Welcome to Power Lunch with Jesus in the Word. Hallelujah. I thought that I was going to have my husband come on the broadcast. I don't know what happened, but that's okay. I got it. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. He is Lord. Anyhow, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I just want to say today, you know, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is really Lord. And no matter what goes on and no matter what happens in our lives, we need to really understand and make a stand that Jesus is Lord. If he really is Lord, we need to make a stand and let ourselves know and let the devil know that Jesus is Lord. And no matter what comes and no matter what goes, Jesus is still Lord. No matter what happens throughout the day, Jesus is Lord. No matter how we look at the situation, Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. even in the situation that I'm dealing with right now, that is not really me dealing with it, it's my mother dealing with it, but because I'm her child, I'm dealing with it too, but Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. No matter what, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. And, you know, right now I'm kind of upset about a couple of things, but guess what? Even in that, Jesus is Lord, and I give him praise for that. Hallelujah. And I do know that before the end of this broadcast, that whatever I was upset about, I'm not going to be upset about it anymore. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. And I don't have too much time to be walking around and worrying about dumb stuff. Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. And I'm talking about myself. Sometimes we make things more than what they are. And I just know that Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I want to give glory to God. I want to give glory to God. I don't want to give glory to any devil or any spirits, any lying spirits, any deceiving spirits, no, any kind of spirit, whether they be in me, whether they be around me or near me. You know, I don't care. In Jesus' name, I got the victory. And I praise God today. Hallelujah. Because he is truly worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if you have a praise report, if you're going through something and you know that Jesus is Lord, I would ask you to just go ahead and start praising him. Hallelujah. And allow God to just minister to you, minister to your spirit. Because guess what? This is a spiritual thing anyway. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Hallelujah. And sometimes we got to put our own selves in check. We got to get our own selves in order. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sometimes we look at other people, hallelujah, looking for them to get themselves in order, but we got to get in order. And one way to get in order is just begin to praise God. This is what I'm learning. I had an incident about 5 minutes ago, when literally about 5 minutes ago, and it was like, you know what? You can go this way or you can go that way. And I'm like, Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I give you glory. No, I didn't react perfectly, but thank God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I could have reacted a whole different way, but I thank God. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on God. I'm bragging on his goodness and his mercy. I'm bragging that he has given us the weapon of praise. The praise is a weapon. Hallelujah. That praise, if you want to, praise can bring you back to where you need to be. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We don't have to walk around acting the way, you know, Satan wants us to act. We don't have to walk around giving glory to the devil by acting crazy. We don't have to do that because we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us. So we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, and we also have the power of praise. Hallelujah. When those soldiers were marching around that Jericho wall, they marched around that wall for 7 days and didn't say nothing. And on that last day, they shouted, and that wall came tumbling down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if you got any walls in your life that need to come down, hallelujah, obey the word of God. Hallelujah. Do what he says. Hallelujah. And then shout, hallelujah, and praise, and watch that wall come down. Hallelujah. And I thank God that I'm preaching to myself right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That wall is coming down in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm excited right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yolanda Adams says, encourage yourself. Hallelujah. And I just got finished encouraging myself. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Encourage yourself. Hallelujah. If you need encouragement right now, just think about what the Lord has done for you. Think about the word of God. Think about how he's put power in your mouth, how you can go ahead on and just begin to praise God. Just think about how he's done that. He's given you that. He's given you the fruit of your lips, hallelujah, that you can either choose life or you can choose death with the fruit of your lips. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But today I choose life. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I choose life today. Glory to God. So it doesn't matter, hallelujah, what you say. It doesn't matter what you do. I choose life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I choose life. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And we don't even have a topic today or subject today, but somebody's on the phone line, so I'm going to see what they have to say. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Area code 501, welcome to Power Lunch with Jesus and the Word.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Fine. Who is this?
This is Cliff, Minister Cliff D. Monroe, to be exact.
Okay.
I think this is my first or second time calling. Your show sounds familiar to me, but I'm not sure. And if it is, praise God. If it's not, praise God. But what you said so far actually helped me out, because I'm going through something right now with my family and my wife, and there's some things that I don't like. But, you know, I'm believing in God, it's going to get better. It may get worse, but after all, it's going to get better because he said so. And like you, I'm upset. I'm kind of kicked off about how it's going down. But I can't give the devil his props. I mean, he wants to see me downtrodden, my head hanging low. But he doesn't forget who I am, because I serve a God who is able to do all things, you know. So I'm just believing whatever I'm going through. I don't know, I can't tell you the name of it, but whatever, I know it's an evil spirit. I'm sending it back to the hell in Jesus' name, you know.
Amen. Amen.
I don't have to go through this. I don't have to go through this. I don't want to go through it. But if God says I have to, so be it. I look at it as a learning tool, you know, because everything in my life doesn't happen by accident. It happens because God said so or God allowed to. So I just want to thank you, sister, for your prayer. Thank you for your words and encouragement thus far. And I know that even if the day is over and I'm still in my situation, I know that Brighter Day is coming. No, you just say Kirk Franklin, and he has a song called Brighter Day, you know.
Yeah.
But my day, you know, matter of fact, it ain't coming. It's already here.
That's right. Death and life are in the power of the tongue.
And one more thing, and I'm going to shut up. I literally have been downtrodden as far as my ministry goes. I've been not praying like I should, not reading the word like I should, and that's not like me. Because I was fiery when I first got saved. I was fiery when I first got called to preach. Past few weeks, few months, a couple years ago, I was down. I told God, look, I'm through. I quit. But he would not let me fall because he had me in his hands. Because I told myself, if you call my grandmother to preach, and she got downtrodden by folks who didn't think she could preach, and I'm her oldest grandson, I didn't ask for this, but you said, go do it, preach to your people, I'm going to do it. I had folks like her tell me I couldn't do it. So whatever. You can call me. God did it. So whatever I'm called to do on this earth, I want to do it for God and God only. That's all I got.
Amen. Well, listen, I want you to be encouraged and understand that temptations come and things happen in our lives, and they come for several reasons. We don't know all the time while we have situations in our lives, but they come for several reasons. But we have the power of the Almighty God within us. We have the power to speak to mountains and tell them to move. We have the power to speak death or either life in our situations. And I've been saved for a long time, but I tell you what, I'm starting to learn in this late hour of my life, I'm starting to learn that we do definitely have death and life in the power of our tongues. So we can speak life or we can speak death. And as humans, what we usually do is we find ourselves speaking more death than we speak life. I know one day the Lord had me to just examine the things that I said. He just let me listen to myself like it was in stereo, like I was standing beside myself, listening to myself say things. And we say so many things that are unnecessary. And a lot of things that we say pull us in to the situation deeper than what it is, especially when the situation is not changing as fast as we want it to change. So what we have to do is we have to train ourselves to understand that we're going through a spiritual battle. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Unfortunately, these battles that we're fighting in the spirit, a lot of these things are coming through human beings. You know, Satan is using people to come at our neck, telling you, okay, you're not going to preach, you're not called to preach, you just, whatever the case is, whatever they're saying, whatever situation you're going in with your relationship, you know, Satan uses people, you know, to come at people because he needs a body. We can't see him. He's a spirit. So he uses people. But what we got to do is be able to identify those things in the spirit and come at it in the spirit realm and not come after the person. And this is what Satan wants. He wants us to be bitter against the person that comes against us. He wants the person to be bitter against us if we come against them. And then you got all of this bitterness and all this offense going on. And then you can't even get your breakthrough that you need to get through because you all, you know, bored down and bent down with all of this other foolishness. When God just says, look, whatever's going on, forgive. Whatever's going on in your situation, forgive and pray for that person. And God will handle it. I don't know when, I don't know how, but God will handle it. And whatever instructions that he gives you, just follow his instructions. And you're going to have glory after this. I don't know, do I have that song on here? There shall be glory. There shall be glory after this. And I thank God for that song because it ain't always a cup of tea. It's not always rosy, just because we're believers and we call on the name of Jesus. So it's not always rosy. But I tell you what, if you get your radio and get your music, or if you have songs in your head and you just sing, God is going to just do some things. Trust me and believe me. I know what I'm talking about. I've been singing around here for the last couple of days, even at work, and people was like, you can't sing. Okay, I don't care what you think about my singing. I'm singing to God because he said make a joyful noise, and that helps me when situations are not going right. You don't understand my praise, hallelujah, but there's a purpose behind my praise. There's a purpose behind me singing. You'd rather me sing than say what I really want to say. So go ahead and get your praise on. Go ahead and get back into your word, get back into prayer, get back into fasting, and do what the Lord God has called you to do, because at the end of the day, you got to answer to God. And he's not accepting excuses, but this, but that. And I know I'm the big one with the excuses.
Can I say one more thing? Just one more. I just got the CD by Dr. Marvin Sapp yesterday. Excellent, as always. He's more than a man of God. He got a song called My Testimony.
Right, yep.
Every time I hear that song, I'm in tears. Because it reminds me of what I've been through. You know, he moved his wife and all the mess he has to deal with on the outside faces. My grandmother passed from diabetes complications. I was mad at God. Literally, he took my grandma, my Medea, before Tyler Perry. He took my rock. I was ticked off. And he told me, he said, you reach out to your grandma away from you. It's because you kept focusing on her and her ministry rather than me. She lived a full life. She preached what she taught, what she preached. She walked the walk. Very ignorant woman of God. But when she went home to be alone, I was at ease because she wasn't pain. At the same time, I was like, why do you take my grandma? You know what I'm saying? That's my grandma. Why you can take somebody? It means just being selfish. But, you know, he took her because it was her time to go. She's in a better place with the Lord. And I had to quit focusing on her. Do what he taught me to do.
Well, it's a process. God shows us things, and I thank God that he showed you what he showed you. All of us are going through a process, and we're going to continue to go through things until we leave this earth. We just have to change our mind about the way we go through it. We have to change our attitude and keep an attitude of praise. And no, I'm not saying I keep an attitude of praise, because I don't. I don't always do that, but I thank and praise God for what he is teaching me. He is teaching me that, I mean, some things that we go through, brother, we go through stuff that's unnecessary because we won't turn it over to God. You know that song by Jessica Reedy says, put it on an altar? We say we put stuff on an altar, and then we don't leave it there. We pick it right back up. Oh, Lord, help fix this situation. Lord, I give you this. Lord, I give you that. Then we turn right around and put our mouth on it. You know, or go back and try to fix the situation like Sarah did for Abraham. You know, God didn't tell her to give that handmaiden to Abraham, but she wanted to fix the situation, and that's what we do. So what I'm saying to you today, brother, is put it on the altar. Put it on the altar. Go before God and fast and in prayer and allow him to do what he wants to do, because I'm getting ready to do the same thing. So I'm not just talking to you. I'm getting ready to do the same thing. So,
All right.
Have you, like, you haven't backslidden or anything, right?
Just a little bit. And
how you a little bit backslide?
Let's just say I did a lot less than I did the year before. But, you know, I did ask God to forgive me and whatnot. But the thing is, I shouldn't do it at all.
Okay, so you already repented, right?
Yes, ma'am. I already have.
You already repented. Okay.
Yes.
So get back into reading your Bible. Get back into reading your word. Get back into praying the word. Whatever is going on in your life, get back into praying and go on a fast. Just shut down. Turn the TV off. Turn the radio off. Turn the computer off and put your plate down. And go to God in prayer. He's going to answer you, and you're going to see some changes, okay? But a lot of things that I found out, even when I used to go through situations and I would pray, because somebody would say pray and I would pray, I didn't even pray with the right motives. My motives in prayer were wrong. And I realized that's why my prayers were not answered. My motives were wrong. Even when I was praying, like, for my ex-husband, my motives were wrong. And we got to make sure that whatever situation we're in and we're praying, that our motives for praying is right. Not a get them, God, because they did this, or get them, God, because they did that. No, God, I pray for them. I pray for them. I pray for them, Lord God, that you will give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Father, I pray for them that you will forgive them. Father, I pray for them that they will receive your word. Father God, I pray for them that they will repent and turn to you, God, in the name of Jesus. Not praying for them to get hurt and God to snatch all their money and to do this. No. But we got to make sure our motives are right, because God looks at the heart. He hears exactly what we're saying out of our lips, but he knows what we really mean. Because I can say something to you but mean something totally different. He wants our heart to match what we say, and what we say to match our heart, because God wants us to be clean. If you read the book of Psalms chapter 51, where David said, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." This is what David said. He said, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy spirit from me." And that's what we want to say to God. Don't cast me away from your presence, Lord. Don't take your spirit from me. I need you. And he will do that. We got to make sure our hearts are right. We got to make sure no matter what somebody else does, our heart has to be right. And, brother, I'm right there with you. I'm not condemning you. I'm not doing any of that. I just want you to know, okay, that you repented and you got yourself, you told God you were sorry, you're not doing those things again, whatever it is that's causing you to slide back or to slide back a little bit, whatever it is, get away from the situation, close the door to it in the name of Jesus, close your ears to it, close your eyes to it in the name of Jesus, and don't let it back in. Because Satan is walking around as a roaring lion, thinking whom he may devour, and he wants to devour you. He wants to devour you. Get that book, get that Bible out, and get those scriptures out about temptation. Get those scriptures out about whatever it is that we're doing that you were not supposed to do. And rebuke that stuff in the name of Jesus. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. And you have to stand there and you have to talk that thing out. Speak it out. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I have to say things out loud. Sometimes I walk around here, and I talk to myself, and I question myself, are you okay? But, yeah, I'm okay, because I'm speaking the word of God, and the word of God will change the atmosphere. The word of God, if you believe in that word of God, it will change the atmosphere. If you're having a problem with fornication or whatever, get those scriptures out about fornication. I will not fornicate. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I will not sin against my body in the name of Jesus. I will not sin against the Holy Ghost by using my body as an instrument of sin. I will not do it. If it's drinking, smoking, whatever it is that's going on, the temptations that keep coming back, you stand strong in the word of God. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. This stuff is passed away. It's passed away in the name of Jesus. It's passed away. I will not. I've been born again. Born again. But see, we got to talk to ourselves and tell ourselves that. I used to curse all the time. I used to curse. Woo! English was a second language. Cursing was the first language. English was my second language. And God had to fix this. I'm serious. You know, but God had to fix this mouth and was like, what is wrong with you? You're supposed to be representing me, and your mouth is nasty. Nasty. And he still had to check me sometimes. You don't even have to curse. It's just about how you say things. It ain't even about cursing. It's about what's wrong with your attitude kind of thing. God still has to check me. So as believers, we have to really check ourselves. We have to do an introspection. And when God shows us about ourselves, we need to get that thing changed. But what we do is we focus on other people so much and what they do. I have people focusing on me right now. Well, who she thinks she is telling them that? And she just did this, and she was mind your business and get yourself straight. And Teresa will get herself straight. But it's an active thing, brother. It's an active thing. We have to do things. It's an active thing. We have to take part. A lot of people say, God changed me. God fixed me. God do that. But we got to take an active part in what we want God to do for us. God, I want you to take this spirit of pornography away from me. But you're still sitting there looking at the pornography magazine. You're still sitting there looking at everything on TV that's pornographic. You understand what I'm saying? So you're saying, God, take this away from me.
I do.
But you still participating in it. Something don't sound right somewhere. You know, that's like a thief. A plan to go in the store and steal. You know you're a thief. You need to be in your scripture with the word of God, pleading the blood of Jesus, talking about, God, I feel like I want to steal. Help me, Lord. I rebuke this. I resist this in the name of Jesus. Father, I draw nigh to you. You said if I draw nigh to you, if I submit to you, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Father, I submit to you right now in the name of Jesus. I will not steal anything, whether it's a pencil, a toothpick, a paperclip, whatever it is. I will not be submitted to this spirit of stealing in the name of Jesus, because your word says, let him that stole steal no more. And I will not steal in the name of Jesus, whatever it is. Whatever it is, drinking, going back to drinking, I will not, in the name of Jesus. I've been delivered from that alcohol demon. I am not an alcoholic. I will not be brought under the power of anything. I will not be brought under the power of alcohol. I will not be brought under the power of anything that is unrighteous, in the name of Jesus, because I've been redeemed. I've been bought with a price. Jesus paid it all. When he took those stripes, he took those stripes, and he was wounded. For us, he was wounded and bruised. This Easter, he was wounded and bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we're healed. With his stripes, we're healed. Healed from iniquity, transgressions, from sin. We're healed. We don't have to go back and do those things we used to do. Because glory to God, we've been healed by Jesus' stripes. And people say, yeah, we healed of physical things by Jesus' stripes. We're healed of that too. But I'm telling you, we've been healed of our sin and our iniquities. That's why Jesus went to the cross for our sin and our iniquity. And when we get that in our heads, that Jesus went to the cross for our sin and our iniquities, and we begin to realize what we've been delivered from, when we can begin to realize what we are saved from, glory to God, we're saved from iniquities and sin. We're saved from transgression, so that when we die, we don't have to go to hell. We don't have to go to the lake of fire. We can spend eternity with Jesus Christ. Glory to God. We begin to look at that. Is this sin that I'm doing worth it? Is this worth me turning my back on God so that when he casts hell into the lake of fire, that I'll be cast in the lake of fire with it? No. Nothing is worth your soul. The Bible said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What is it profiting? Closet people out here in the church preaching and teaching and glorifying God in public, but go home. You drinking, you're fornicating and committing adultery, popping pills, smoking weed, all this other stuff, into pornography on the computer, all this other stuff that's going on. God is saying, come out today. Come out. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Come out. Render your heart unto God. Let God circumcise your heart. He's not worrying about that other circumcision. He's working about talking about your heart. Circumcise your heart. Circumcise your heart. Get it together, because as sure as my name is Teresa, Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, he's not going to be standing around looking at his watch talking about, okay, I'm going to give you 5 minutes to get it straight. He's not coming like that. He's coming like a thief in the night. And when a thief comes in the night, the thief comes when everybody's sleeping. When a thief comes, there's nobody lurking around in the house. Everything's quiet. It's dark. Everything's settled. Everybody's settled. That's how Jesus is coming, like a thief in the night. But you can go to bed at night with your heart straight. You can go to bed right. So when Jesus does come, whether he come in the midnight hour, whether he come in the morning, your heart is right. And this is what God wants for his people. He wants his people to get right. Yeah, we want people to get saved. We want people to get saved. But those that are calling on the name of Jesus, those that are calling themselves believers, those that are calling themselves Christians, we got to get it right. We got to get our hearts right. We got to get our hearts right, because that's what Jesus is looking at. That's what Jesus is looking at. He said the outside is clean. The outside of the cup is clean. But look inside the cup. It's filthy. It's dirty. and he wants us to clean it up. He wants us to be pure before him. And I'm first partaker. This don't have nothing to do with nobody else. It's got to do with me. If it's helping you, glory to God. But guess what? God wants his people to be clean. He wants his people to be clean. Inside, inside, inside. And all we got to do is surrender. All we got to do is surrender. We don't like the stuff that we go through, of course. We don't like the stuff that go through, of course. But guess what? We got to go through. It's our attitude about how we go through it. It's our attitude about how we go through it. Are we going to go through it and murmur and complain? Or are we going to go through it in victory and praise God? Are we going to go through it and have joy while we go through it? Knowing that God has, we've already overcome it. We've already overcome it. Thank you, Holy Ghost, because he know what I needed. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Did you have anything else to say, brother? I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I'm listening to you. I don't need to be sorry. But
that's okay.
I'm taking in everything, and I'm hearing. So.
Amen. So we just we have people in the chat room. If you want to call the phone line, if you have anything to say, you're more than welcome to call 323-693-3054. That is the number to call in. If you call that number, please press 1. And when I see that signal, I will get you on the line. Amen. I hear my husband on the phone.
I do have one more thing to say. You just said something that had me do a flashback. But you said something about when people are at church praising God and they go home and be hell raisers, so to speak. I used to date, before I got married, a woman who acted just like that. And when I called her out, she got mad. I know it wasn't her to get mad, it was the devil inside her that got mad at me. And that's good. Because had I not called her out, I would have got caught up in her mess. So when I got engaged and when I got married, she did not say, congratulations, I'm happy for you. No, she told me I'm mad at you. I said, why are you mad at me? Are you with her? I said, well, you had 3 chances to get it right. Not with me, but with God. And I seen how your actions were, how you treated me. Other men, you got a 15-year-old child, a daughter. How in the world are you supposed to be a good mother to your child when you got all these men in and out of your house? I am not the one. And I had to cut her loose. So when you think about people raising God in church, raising hell at home, oh, I know a few. That's all I had to say. And I had to pray for it. I was really disturbed by that. And I prayed for it, and I was released from it, and God took the rest, took the reins.
Amen. And that's what we want him to do, to take the reins. I believe my husband is on the line.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm listening to all the things you've been saying and certainly agree with virtually all of them. We need to look at ourselves and examine ourselves and get things right with God. This season, we talk about this Lenten season, we're about winding it down now. This is Maundy Thursday, the day that we celebrate the Last Supper of Christ and his disciples there in the upper room in Jerusalem. And how he gathered his disciples. One was a betrayer. One was a denier. One was a doubter sitting in the circle with him. But he supped with them. And in fact, the Bible tells me that Judas sat right at his left hand. He had the honored seat. And I know people used to ask me, well, why would Judas be given the honored seat? Christ knew he was going to betray him. Christ knew he was going to deny him. But Christ also knew that what he was doing was the will of God. That he had to die. I know you said yesterday that Christ didn't, his life was not taken from him, but that he freely gave his life for our redemption, for our salvation, for our atonement, for the penalty of sin, which was death, that each of us were destined to pay. Heaven was not our way station. Heaven was not our place of abode. That was not where we were going to go before Christ came on the scene. Before Christ came on the scene, hell was the destiny of every human being on earth because of the sin of Adam and because of our own perpetuation of sin, that our life was going to be filled with hell. Oh, I hear some music in the background.
I'm sorry, technical difficulty. Go ahead.
Oh, so thank you. crazy. Maybe it was commercial or something. But nevertheless, we have to understand, and I know you were talking about it a moment ago, the significance of Christ, what he did at Calvary, what he did even for at the scourging when he was beaten. He was beaten his stripes, Isaiah tells us, by his stripes we are healed. And in the context of the passage of Isaiah, he's not talking so much about physical healing. He's talking about iniquity. He's talking about sin. We were healed from the penalty of sin. We were healed, we were delivered from the destiny that sin had mapped out for us, which was eternal damnation and eternal death. That was our way station. That was where we were headed for. That was our destination, if you will, of every human being that lived on earth, from Adam all the way to John the Baptist. Everybody who lived and who died before Christ paid the penalty on Calvary were destined to spend even paradise in another world. In other words, they were going to be in a paradise that was going to be adjacent to, across the street from, on the other side of the gulf of hell. But because of what Christ did, his great sacrifice, Yahshua proved, and he loved us so much that he gave his very life. Tonight we're going to remember the Gethsemane experience. That's what happened tonight, where he agonized for those hours there. Agonized, went to God the Father three times, petitioning him to let this bitter cup pass from him. That's what he's going to do tonight. That's tonight's events. Thursday night is what happens. Thursday night is when the preparation of Passover, the Passover feast, the unleavened bread feast, all that happens tonight. He's breaking the bread, he's drinking the wine with his disciples, him telling them to eat, take, this is my body, which is broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. All that happens on Thursday, all that happened over 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, and it's going to be reminded of with each of us, it should be anyway, that's what happened on this night over 2,000 years ago in the city of Jerusalem in the upper room with his 12 disciples. And then he went on to the book of St. John, the words that were spoken in St. John chapter 14, where he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life." All that happened tonight. It was Thursday that all those things were said, all those things that were done. Then he eased over there to the Garden of Eden, of Garden of Gethsemane, rather, with Peter, James, and John, his three intimate friends, and there he agonized over the destiny that was awaiting him. Judas had run out of the upper room by this time and was about to betray him to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, to the elders and the scribes. That all happened tonight. We have to remember these things. We don't remember. We remember Palm Sunday. We remember Good Friday. We remember Easter. But we have to remember the whole week, what happened that whole week. In particular tonight, where all these things begin to unfold in dramatic ways. It was tonight that Judas came with the temple guards and he kissed them on the cheek repeatedly as a signal that Christ Jesus, Yahshua HaMashiach, was the Messiah, the one they were looking for, the one that they had, that was destined to be executed and crucified on Golgotha's hill. This all happens in the next few hours of this day. And then ushering it into tomorrow, wee hours of the morning, when they took him as a prisoner, first to Annas, the old high priest, then to Caiaphas, the new high priest, his son-in-law, and then over to Pontius Pilate, back over to King Herod, back to Pontius Pilate. He was scourged, whipped 39 times to virtually the end of his life. He was beaten so badly. And if that weren't enough, they mocked him, they scorned him, they put a crown of thorns upon his head and pressed it down with hammers, mocking him, jeering him, spitting on him, slapping him, and asking him, if you be the Son of God, tell us which one of us as he was blindfolded. Tell us which one of us slapped you. Then taken back to Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate asking, now look what we've done to this man. Truly this was enough punishment for anybody. And then they echoed out, crucify him. Crucify him. He said, isn't this enough? Crucify him. Crucify him. 5 days earlier they had said, Hosanna, Hosanna to the king who's come to liberate us. And now here the same crowd is yelling out repeatedly, crucify him. Crucify him. Pontius Pilate washes his hands and said, I wash my hands of this innocent blood. And Caiaphas yells out, we'll take responsibility for his blood. Just crucify him. And then he walks the streets of the Dolorosa up to Calvary with the cross on his back after being whipped virtually to death. He had to carry the cross of degradation and shame. But in the same way, the cross of salvation and hope and deliverance and emancipation and reconciliation and justification up to that hill. And there his wrists were nailed to the cross and his feet were nailed to the cross and they hoisted him up between two malefactors, two thieves. One of the thieves mocked him and jeered him and said, if you be the Christ, get yourself down and bring us down as well. Everybody watching, everybody seeing, everybody examining this man who claimed to be the Messiah, now agonizing on the cross, beaten, broken. The centurions tossing dice to see who would get his cloak and his tunic. Mother there, Mary Magdalene, John, the beloved disciple there at the foot of the cross, watching him as he agonized from noontime all the way to 3. They hung him up there at 9 in the morning, but at noontime was when he began to speak those words that we're going to celebrate on tomorrow, the 7 last words. He began to utter them at 12 noon. He'd already been there since 9 o'clock in the morning. We need to remember all those things. And what was the first thing he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, isn't that something? He who's been beaten, broken, nearer to death than life, and you're petitioning the Father not to take revenge, not to send a lightning bolt and crush the earth, not to bring blindness and deafness and death to anyone, but forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Then he turns to one of the malefactors. The other one said, bring us down. But the other one said something quite different. He said, you are a foolish man. Don't you know that we justly deserve what we're getting? But this man is an innocent man. All I got to say to you, Jesus, is this. All I got to say to you, Yeshua, is this. Remember me when you go into your kingdom. And the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, had power to send 10,000 angels to take him from that cross, turned to the man on his right hand and said to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Then he looked down at his mother, Mary, and he told his disciple, John, he said, behold thy mother, behold thy son. And if that weren't enough, then he turned his attention to his own dilemma, and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now that's something, isn't it? The Son of God, actually God himself, incarnate in the form of a human being, yelled up to the Father in heaven, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God had turned his back on his only begotten Son because of the sin that his Son was bearing. Can you imagine what the Father must have felt to see his Son bearing all the sins of every man that ever existed from Adam to your baby and your great-great-granddaughter and your great-great-great-grandson, yet to be born, yet to exist, and he died for their sins, for your sins, for my sins, for our sins, from the beginning of time to the end of humankind on this earth. He bore all that at Calvary. So much so that the God who hates sin had to turn his back on his own son because of the sin that he was bearing, not of his own, but our sin. He looked to one of the centurions and said, I first, and they put up some vinegar and went out of the pail and put a sponge, and they tried to wet his lips a little bit from the sponge, and it was repugnant. Then he proclaimed these powerful words. It is finished. It is finished. And we ask ourselves, what was finished? What was completed at Calvary? His work wasn't completed, because we know what happens. He rises again. He walks on earth for 40 days. He ascends to heaven. He sits at the right hand of God the Father. He intercedes on our behalf. So his work is not done. We know that he's going to come again, and he's going to stand as the judge at during rapture on judgment seat, and then he's going to come in triumph, reigning over the clouds of witnesses and reigning over the angels who will come and do battle at the battle of Armageddon. We know his second coming is impending. We know that he's going to reign for 1,000 years during the millennium when Satan is bound in the bottomless pit. We know all of that. So his work's not done. It's not finished. So what was finished? Well, the real Greek word for the word, it means to be accomplished. What did he accomplish? He accomplished salvation. He accomplished a reconciliation between man and God. He accomplished the price of sin, which was death. You had to have somebody die. Now, before Christ, you had to offer up turtle doves. You had to offer up lambs. You had to offer up bullocks. You had to offer up all kinds of things as burnt offerings, as sin offerings, as love offerings unto the Lord. There was a day of atonement where you had to come and bring all of your sins unto the Lord. You had to offer up a lamb for your sins. But he became the Lamb of Lambs, if you will. He took away sin once and for all for anyone who accepts him as their Lord and their Savior, confesses and acknowledges that he died and he rose again, and you will be saved. He made things right again. That's what he accomplished. He brought things back into their proper perspective. That's what he accomplished. He allowed God to look at us as our Father again, and for us to look at him as our Father again. He took paradise from the netherworld and placed it into heaven, and brought all of the saints of old to a heavenly portal. That's what he accomplished. If it were not for Christ in Calvary, we would still be lost here in 2012 with all of our technological advancement, with all of our ability to do this and that. We would still be lost. But because of Christ, because of Yeshua, because of what he did, because of his love, because of his sacrifice, because of the beating that he took and the bruising that he took and the degradation that he endured for no sin of his own, we have a right to the tree of life again. You know, in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life was not the forbidden tree. Everybody ate of the tree of life. That wasn't the forbidden tree. Because everybody was going to live forever. So the tree of life had no special power. It was just another tree that bore fruit. But after Adam and Eve sinned and allowed Satan to beguile them and allowed him to lead them into temptation, into sin, then the tree of life had power. And it was forbidden for them to eat of it. And they were driven from the garden because it still sat in the garden. And because man couldn't be trusted not to eat of it, because he'd already betrayed himself to God. But oh my goodness, now we can eat of that tree again. We can live forever again, as he intended initially. Everything is in order now because of what Yahshua did there at Calvary. Thank you, Evangelist, for allowing me just to share this a little bit of history. Biblical. Oh, am I going through with the story? Okay, well, you know what happened. He said it is finished. But he had one more thing to say before he gave up the ghost. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And then the Bible tells us that he then bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Oh, what a life. What a life he had. Only 33 years old. Can you imagine it? Now when people live to be 80 and 90 and 100 years old, we have preachers that have celebrated 50 years in the ministry and 40 years in the ministry. And they were just talking about the minister called Prince. He celebrated 5 years in the TV ministry, and I said, my Lord, even he, 5 years, eclipsed Jesus by 2 years. And yet, what a difference those 3 years made. What a difference, what an impact. No other person on earth has impacted the world as Christ. No one. No one has ever impacted the world as Christ has. And he's still impacting lives and changing lives even today as we begin to remember the great sacrifice that he made on tomorrow, as he prepared to make that sacrifice on today and tonight. But then the story goes to tell me that after they buried him, took him down from the cross, he had died, and how the temple veil had rent itself and tore apart, and the earthquake came, and even the dead rose from the dead, and all of these things happened after his crucifixion was over. That Mary, his mother, Mary Magdalene, and all the others took him to a barred grave and of Joseph of Arimathea, and how they buried him in that graveyard, wrapped him in death clothing and put perfume on him and rolled the stone over the entrance to the tomb. And many thought, finally, it's all over and we can finally move on with our lives. And we've gotten rid of that renegade, that rebel, that troublemaker. Oh, but it tells me on Sunday morning, early in the morning, at the dawning of a new day, before the cock finished cock-a-doodle-dooling, the angels came and rolled the stone away. The guards, the centurion guards who were guarding it, the soldiers that were guarding it, they ran from the scene. And all that was left inside the tomb were death clothes unfilled by any human being's body. For you see, Yahshua had risen. He was alive again. Like he said to Caiaphas and to those in authority, he said, you're going to bury me, but in 3 days, the temple is going to rise again. So they thought he was talking about he was going to destroy the temple in Jerusalem. He was going to destroy a physical building. He wasn't talking about that temple. He was talking about his own body. He was talking about this temple will be destroyed. This temple, my body, will be broken. My body will be shattered. My body will cease to exist. But on the third day, the temple will be restored again. I'm so glad that his temple was restored again. And because he did what he did, We don't ever have to taste the eternal pangs of death. Oh, we're going to have to die because the Hebrew tells us that it's appointed on the man to once die. We're going to have to do that, but it's almost like a being put to sleep, getting ready to wake into a better day. There's going to be a transformation. There's going to be a glorification. And we're going to, our bodies are going to be like his body was. And if we would see how his body was after the resurrection, we'll see exactly what that means, what kind of bodies we will have. It tells me there in the book of John that he walked through doors. It tells me there that he transplanted himself from one place to another, almost like transportation. He'd be standing here one minute, and he'd be over there the next minute. That's what our bodies are going to be like, those who have glorified bodies, bodies likened unto himself. See, we're not going to have wings like some would suppose you to believe. Even some religious folk will lead you to believe that we're going to have wings like angels. Oh, no, we're going to do better than that. We won't need no wings to fly anywhere. We'll just will ourselves to be in heaven, and there will be. We'll will ourselves to be back on earth, and there will be. My goodness, won't that be a day? But that just won't happen because you will it so. It's not going to happen because you want it to happen. You have to live a life. We have to live a life that's holy and righteous and pleasing in his sight. Well, I know God's a God of mercy and God's a God of love, and in the end, God's going to save us all. No, God don't send nobody to hell. You're absolutely right. God doesn't send anybody to hell. We send ourselves to hell if that's where we end up going. God doesn't put anybody in hell. We walk in ourselves with eyes wide open. You hear me? If we missed the mark, it's because we didn't shoot right. We didn't aim right. We didn't hit the target that God wanted us to hit. We shot another way. God says walk the narrow path. We decide to walk the broad way. God says live holy. We decide to live unholy. God says live righteously, we decide to live unrighteously. God says love, we decide not to love. God said don't bring sin out of, don't let anger create sin in your life. We let anger create sin and represent itself through sin. Everything that we do, fornication, adultery, lying, stealing, murder, we consciously do. We decide to do it. It's not through osmosis. It's not because we can't help ourselves. The world man can't help himself. He's still in the old nature. He still thinks the old way. He's still caught up in the things of the devil. But we who have a renewing of our minds must daily mortify our bodies, according to Romans. Through the Holy Spirit, it tells us the way to do it. Well, I can't do it by myself. You're not supposed to do it by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. We mortify the flesh through the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in the world today. That's why Christ said that it's an unforgivable sin to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that's going to keep you in check. It's going to be the Holy Spirit that's going to keep you walking straight and narrow, to keep me walking straight and narrow, to keep us walking straight and narrow. Never minimize or reduce the Holy Spirit to being a secondary character. I tell folk all the time, he's not God's sidekick. He is God. He's not God's tonto. He is God. You hear me, dear hearts? Let's get that out of our minds. Sometimes we even refer to the Holy Spirit as a it. It's a him. Just like we refer to the Father as him and the Son as him, well, the Holy Spirit is him too. Who is him? Him is the God Almighty. The monotheistic God, the one God, the only God, the Almighty God, the infinite God, the creator of heaven and earth, the fashioner and designer of all good things. He is God. When God said in Genesis 1:26, let us make man, he was talking to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In fact, it was his spirit that he breathed into us, and that made us a living soul. You hear me? It was his spirit that impregnated Mary and allowed Yeshua to be born upon this earth, the Son of God. It was through the Holy Spirit that that was done. It was the Holy Spirit that was there at the upper room during the day of Pentecost, filling the folk with the Spirit of God, like a mighty rushing wind. It was the Holy Spirit. My wife talked about David, and David appealed to God the Father and said, don't take thy spirit, thy Holy Spirit from me. Now, through the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was seen from time to time, revealed itself from time to time. But during this great dispensation of grace, which we live in, and that occurred after Christ had risen from the grave, that we became into a great into the dispensation of grace, and throughout the dispensation of grace, which will end during the time of the rapture and end during the time of the years of tribulation. It's the Holy Spirit in the presence of God in the world. When someone is baptized, it's going to be in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let your spirit, Lord, go into them. Come on, folk. Let's really begin to understand. If we really begin to understand just how much God loves us. We're always talking about God, he will love us, and why is this happening? Why does that happen? And why is that dead? Why are the people in hell? Let me tell you something. God has given us so many opportunities to get it right. Everybody that's on this broadcast now, whether you're in the chat room, whether you're live on the broadcast, whether you're going to listen to it in the archives, no matter what may be the case, you know, it's God's mercy, his love for you, that you're here right now. What do you think, that you're here listening to this? You're here into this new day because you deserve to be here, that you were that good yesterday or even today, that you should be here at this hour? Oh, Lord, no, that's not true. It's still his grace, his mercy. I believe it's in 2 Peter where it says that God loves us so much, he's delaying everything from happening. See? He's delaying the day of tribulation. He's delaying the day of judgment. He's delaying you're dying, you're ending this life. He's delaying it. He's giving us an opportunity to get it right. If we choose not to get it right day after day, year after year, millennium after millennium, you know, the first century church was looking for him to come during the first century. See, we wouldn't have been born if he would have come as they wanted him to come. Peter and Paul and all of them, they thought he was coming during their lifetime. But his love for us who weren't even born yet, for our parents who weren't even born yet, for our great-great-great-grandparents who weren't even born yet, and our great-great-great-grandchildren who have not been born yet, he loves us so much that he's delayed not just days, not just months, not just years, not even centuries, but millenniums and epochs and eras. And over and over again, every day, he's delaying so somebody else can get the word in. Somebody else can be converted. And those that have been backslidden, they can come back into right relationship. And those who are still straddling the fence can get off the fence and finally decide to make him their choice. He's delaying it so that you can finally get the word out to people in the remotest parts of the world so that they may have an opportunity to be saved. He's delaying it so that your son can get it right. and accept him as their Lord and Savior. He loves us so much. He's delaying the return, the imminent return, the certain return. There is no doubt about it, return of Yahshua. He's holding the reins, holding it back so that we can get it right once and for all. Well, God bless you. That's all I got to say about the whole matter. I don't know if Alice is back on or whether we just have a word of prayer and end this program for the day. But I thank God, and I ask that you remember as you go into services tonight, tomorrow, as you go into the Easter Resurrection Day services on Sunday, remember some of the things we've shared with you today. Remember the true meaning, the true reason, if you will, for this season. Evangelist talked about it yesterday. Our program mainly was devoted to it. And that was the myth of the Easter bunny and the Easter egg and the Easter bonnet and the Easter parade and every other kind of Easter situation that you may have. Remember the reason for this. The reason for this is simple. Christ died and rose again so that we can die to sin and rise to life. So that we can die to our unholiness and rise to holiness. That we can rise to envy and strife and all those negative things that we feel, say, and do, and rise to love, kindness, and goodness. That whatever we weren't, we can now be. That's what it's all about. It's about new life. The Greek word for resurrection is anastasis. And anastasis means to stand on your feet again, like you did before. And when we think about it, that's going way, way back when man stood on his feet. The last time man stood on his feet, the man was named Adam. Ever since Adam and his sin, man has not been standing. He's been slip-sliding. Stand for a minute, fall for anything. For all these many years. But the resurrection, the anastasis of Christ, has enabled all of us to stand on our feet again like we did before. Because Christ, the Son, and God the Father, when they look at us, they look at us as we were meant to be. And we were meant to be standing on our feet, praising him, being an example before man, being a witness before others, helping somebody, walking to where they are, meeting their needs, standing for the right, not letting the lies and the world take over, but we're standing for the right. Not just in word and rhetoric, but the way we live, we're standing for the right by example, not just by rhetoric. We're standing for the right because it's right to stand for the right. So as we look in the resurrection, remember that word, that Greek word that means resurrection. It is anastasis. Standing on your feet again. If you backslidden, stand on your feet again. If you've been slipping and sliding, stand firm on your feet again. A young man called a few moments ago and talked about how excited he was years ago, and now he's kind of drifted away a little bit here and there, off and on. But I'm telling him to stand on your feet again. I'm telling myself, stand on your feet again when you don't know which way to go and don't know what decisions to make. Stand on your feet again. Stand firm in what you know is true. And God will take all the rest and make it right for you. God bless you. Let's have a word of prayer. Oh, gracious Father in heaven, we come before you now, empty as vessels before a full fountain. We come to you now, Lord, thanking you for all that you've done, thanking you for all that you're going to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for allowing God to use my wife. I see that she's going to be calling on the phone like she did yesterday, but I want to thank you for what your son has done today for all of us. He woke us up. He set us on our way. And as we think about the Last Supper tonight, and as we celebrate it, and as we think about the Good Friday services tomorrow, and as we think about the Resurrection Day on Sunday, Lord, let us never forget about who this is all about and why this is all about. It's not about Easter bonnets. It's not about new suits. It's not about beautiful dresses. It's not about hair done and haircuts and all those things, Lord. It's all about you and your son. If anything needs to be new in our lives, let it be that we have a new relationship with you. And now, Lord, bless us and keep us and allow us to keep our eyes toward the hill from whence cometh our help. For our help cometh from you. Amen. Evangelist, are you back on?
Yes, I'm on.
God bless you. Thank you for the opportunity. Now, you going to make a call like you did yesterday. Thank you.
You're welcome. I don't know if this is going to work.
Hello.
Hi. This is Evangelist Teresa Scott from Blog Talk Radio. Hello?
Okay.
Hello? How are you today?
Huh?
How are you today? You are live on the radio.
Okay. Why?
Would you have to have anything to say since this is Easter weekend? Do you have anything to say since this is the Easter weekend? Anything to say about Jesus? Anything to say about salvation?
Okay. Jesus is good all the time. He is working things out slowly, but they are getting done all in all. And I just thank him.
She said she just thank him, y'all.
Amen. Thank him.
Do you have any prayer requests?
Yeah, but I got a few. I don't know. Yeah, pray for my family. Pray for my sanity.
For your sanity?
Yeah.
Okay.
But pray for my family as well.
Your family and your sanity.
That's right.
They go hand in hand, huh?
Yeah. Yes, they do.
Amen.
All right, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I lift up Shirley. Yeah. To you, Lord, and I pray, God, asking you for her sanity, Lord, but there's things that she has to do in order to get that sanity, Father, so I pray for her that she will read your word, that she will meditate on your word, and that she will pray to you, Lord God, like never before. Father, I pray for her family, Lord God, which is my family. Father, I pray for our family that we will all come together in love, especially during this difficult time. Father, that we all come together with one mind, on one accord, Lord God, speaking the same thing, Lord God, that there be no division among us, Father. I thank you for it, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for her fiance, her children, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that all will come to Jesus with their whole heart, all together, leaving the cares of the world behind, but they will come to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I just say thank you for it being done right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You have anything else you need to say?
Mm-mm.
No? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I'll see you in a few minutes. Love you. Bye.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I like doing that to people. It's so much fun. Anyway, caller 501, you're still on the line, so we get ready to close. If you have anything else to say, you can do so right now.
Hello? I'm here.
Yeah, we get ready to close the broadcast, so if you have anything else to say, you can say it now.
Oh, no, I had a wonderful time. Thanks for putting me on the air, especially myself. I really enjoy it. Really appreciate it. I'll see that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, so if the Lord wills, we'll be back on the same time, same station on Monday.
All righty.
All right. God bless you. Good night.
You too.